Imagine having the life of your dreams. Not temporary cash and glory, but happiness and inner peace. Explore new ways to be a creator and take your own journey into greatness. Is it possible? What does it take to make that happen? It takes the person known for extreme results. He's called the Cage Breaker and the Ultimate Catalyst. Coming back from the brink of death and now crushing it for himself and his clients, this is Your Ultimate Life Podcast with Kellen Flukiger.
This episode today is titled after one of the songs on the album Name of the Black, and the song is titled just as well. That may seem a little cryptic, and it is, I guess, unless you know the story. And I don't intend to tell the whole story on this episode because it'll take too long. But I'll tell you a little bit about where the title came from. This song is about addictions, and particularly one that was troubling for me, which was the white powder, cocaine. And I struggled with that for a lot of years, and sometimes in a really dramatic way. And so this is sort of the ode to that and the farewell at the same time. Good riddance, a very painful conversation about that. And if you want to know the whole story and you want to hear the song, then you'll need to go get it. And that's the name of it, just as well. And the album is The Name of the Black. You can get the albums and books and everything that I mention on these podcasts on my website, www.kellenflukiger.com. And if you have an interest in hearing the music. Anyway, so the three parts of today's conversation are about addictions. What are they? That's part one. Part two is, what is it that keeps you stuck? And by stuck, I mean not doing the things that you know you want to do or you keep telling yourself you want to do. And then part three is an encouragement from me about how to claim your divine heritage, who you really are, what you're really capable of, and let it sit no more in the shadows, but go make it real and make your mark on the world. So part one is addictions. What are they? Well, it depends on who you talk to, I guess, but addictions are compulsive behaviors that we use as coping mechanisms. And, you know, it used to be that the addiction was synonymous with alcohol, an alcoholic, and then the word addict was applied to drug users of one kind or another. I remember growing up as a kid, you know, heroin was this terrifying monster, and we would hear stories about it and places where that was, you know, prevalent, and pictures and movies and scare tactics and all the stuff that was used for many, many years, and in some cases still is, about drugs. And, of course, that's not very effective. Frightening people into a particular behavior doesn't really work. What it foments is rebellion, anger, pushback, resentment, and a bunch of negative things. Well, we've seen plenty of those examples in the world, in politics and in, you know, this country revolting from that one, and independence and wars and all the other. I don't want to talk about that. Right now, I want to talk about what's inside you. Because your ultimate life is how you live. It's how you feel. It's what you do. And you can live your ultimate life no matter what country you're in, no matter what the constitution of that country does or doesn't guarantee, however your life is structured. You don't have to be in a particular place physically or geographically to live your ultimate life, the life of purpose, prosperity, and joy that you create by serving others with your divine gifts. Anyway, so addictions are not averted by threats and by fear. We need to understand what they are, because at some time in our lives, each of us resorts to some kind of coping mechanism because we can't really take life as it is. We're not able to live life on its own terms right now, or we think we're not. We believe we're not. For me, one addiction replaced another all during my life until I finally understood its connection to my depression. And I was coping, the thing I was coping with was the feeling that I had adopted or chose to believe of being not good enough. And so addictions for me were an escape from the pain of not being good enough. I can't make it. I can't do enough stuff to get approval of those that I wanted desperately to get approval from. And it then turned on me. That was how it was growing up. And then I adopted that feeling, and I could never get my own approval. I had already made too many mistakes. I was worthless. I was going to stay that way. I couldn't possibly be okay or be good enough. So I don't know what addictions or compulsive behavior you engage in. They can be so benign. Well, none of them are benign. So let's get the idea that some are benign. Some are legal and some are illegal, but all of them are damaging. All of them, every single one of them, waste your divine potential, your divine talent. So some prominent ones are alcohol and 100 kinds of drugs, and now there's designer drugs and so forth, prescription medication. There's all kinds of substances that we take in our body to make us feel different, to hide from some kind of pain. And then there's a bunch of emotional stuff too. And so we have, eating disorders, and we have shopping, and we have the depression that I struggled with manifested in gambling, and it can also manifest in preoccupation with sex or obsession about anything. The whole point of any of those things is that really it is a coping mechanism that we're using to take our minds off of what's really going on, or to help us forget for the moment, for the hour, for the week, or hopefully forever, that we're in so much pain. So it's a medication to ease the pain. And whether that medication is a substance or a behavior or an activity, it can be something that someone might think is benign, like watching endless television, mindlessly doing that for, way too long. And the consequence of that, of course, is that you don't do the good that you could. You're certainly not serving the world with your divine gifts. I don't know what yours are, but I know that you're not using them if you're mindlessly coping with the real or perceived pain in life. So let's go to a further discussion, and this might be a little difficult, or you might just turn it off. I want you to explore what your compulsive behaviors are. What keeps you stuck? Now, they might not be a particular outward behavior. So I would suggest that, I've listed many of the prominent ones, from eating to sex to drugs to alcohol to shopping to, all that stuff's a behavior, an outward manifestation. But there's also inward behaviors, endless self-criticism, sitting and doing nothing and for hours, or spinning in place, taking forever and ever to decide something. Oh, what if it's wrong? I got to be right. I got to do it right. I can't afford to make a mistake. All of those things are still coping mechanisms that you or I or anybody might do to avoid the pain of mistake or the embarrassment of being wrong. And that embarrassment might even be real or perceived. You might think someone's thinking less of you, and they're not thinking about you at all. They're busy worrying about their own lives, and that's one of the powerful, profound truths that can help you with whatever keeps you stuck, and that is this. One thing that we do, all of us, is we worry so much about what somebody, so-and-so's thinking about what we said, did, or didn't say or do. Truth is, they're not. They are not endlessly sitting around thinking about us at all. They're busy with their own coping mechanisms, leading their own life. And incidentally, one coping mechanism that some people use is to endlessly criticize and attack others. You see that now prominently on social media, where people, nicknamed trolls, run around and endlessly bash, sometimes violently, in violent language that is, or vituperatively criticize or debase or, say all kinds of bad stuff. I can't even find the right words about somebody. And the real thing that's going on is they feel bad about themselves. They do. And they take it out by bashing others. Because remember, we don't see the world the way it is. We say we see the world the way we are. I'm going to say that again because that's so important. We don't actually see the world the way it is. We see the world the way we are. And that might be a painful revelation, but every time you attack or I attack or criticize someone, it's because I don't like that behavior or that attitude in myself. And the good question I can ask me is, where's that showing up for me? And where's it blocking the creation of my ultimate life? Where's it blocking my receiving joy, happiness, power, prosperity, and all that stuff that we've talked about so often? So with this preamble, I want you to think about what things keep you stuck. And I want you to be specific. Take a minute, take a piece of paper, or if you're driving, list them in your mind and then put them in your phone or on a piece of paper when you get somewhere to stop. What attitudes or behaviors or critical thinking or bashing of others or specific behaviors, including the ones we've listed, are part of your life in such a way that they get in the way of you fully developing and exercising your gifts and talents? Now, I had a ton of them, and so it's not like I had one. I was a compulsive liar on and off at different times. I had problems with alcohol and drugs and gambling and wasting money and shopping, and all designed for the same thing, to numb the pain that I was feeling. And I have no idea what yours are, but I know they're there, and I know that pretending they're not won't move you forward. And so the question that I could ask you is, what endless activities, self-criticism, judging yourself or others, and what things are part of your life in such a regular fashion that if you're honest with yourself, you know they're getting in the way of you being the powerful person that you could be and that I really believe in my heart that you want to be? Now, part three, after you've made that list, is to decide what to do with it, if there's one thing on it or if there's 10 things on it. I don't know about you, but I found that I couldn't do them all at once. It was really daunting. In fact, it was overwhelming. It just made me give up and, you know, melt into a puddle of despair when I thought about trying to change everything. So you know what? You can do this a couple of ways. In fact, I would recommend that you approach it from two ways. Way number one is just to think about one of them, the easiest one of those things that keep you stuck, and start with that. And start with that means make a plan to have a life with a little less of it. Hey, say 5% a day, 5% less self-criticism, 5% less minutes spent bashing yourself or bashing others or wasting time in front of the TV or social media or whatever your particular compulsive behavior is that's getting in the way of your gifts and talents. So 5% more or less, 5% less time, less of your precious divine self wasted on some activity that's not developing your gifts, that's not serving others, that's certainly not making you happy. That's the funny thing. You know, if you think about addictions, you use some substance and it feels good for a minute, an hour, 3 or 4 hours, and then inevitably there's a hangover. There's an emotional hangover and in many cases a physical hangover where you feel physically sick and emotionally sick, and then you go on another binge, which is bashing yourself for being such a fill-in-the-blank. So one way to attack that is just to pick one of those things and figure out, make it a game, figure out what you could do to do 5% less of that activity each day. Just 5% less, 5% less. And if you fail and, you know, give up, then recommit and, you know, 5% less, just keep going. So that's that is a way to start. It's not the only way. If it's severe enough, you need help, you might need to see a counselor. I eventually did and joined some addiction recovery groups and so forth. That may or may not be appropriate. The second approach, besides the reduction of some particular behavior a little at a time, including getting help or doing whatever needs to happen to make that reduction happen. So reduction is one. The second and most powerful method I've saved for last, and that is increasing your love for yourself. So I'm going to say this really slow because I want it to sink in deeply. I don't care where you are or what has come before in your life right now. I don't care how bad you think you are or how hopeless or how lost or how late, you are worth any effort. And you need or will benefit, you don't need to do anything, but you will dramatically benefit from increasing the love, kindness, and patience you show to yourself. So that's part two. Part one is a reduction thread, which is reducing a particular behavior by some means. And part two is to increase the love that you show, the patience, the compassion, the tolerance, the kindness that you show yourself. Now, that's not to be confused with making excuses. Well, it's okay if I do whatever. I'm not talking about that. Because if you truly loved yourself, you wouldn't allow you to hurt yourself, which is what goes on when we fail to use our divine gifts in serving others. It gets in the way of our happiness. And you wouldn't let somebody do that if they were your best friend and you really loved them. So part two is to aim to increase the love you have for yourself. And how to do that? Well, I've given you the lipstick exercise, which is back in another episode. Write the words in lipstick on the mirror, "I am enough." And leave it there and look at it every day. Another way is to look deeply in your own eyes and say, "I love you." Now, both of those are starting points, and we'll talk more about this on other episodes, but learning to love yourself, and we've already done some if you want to go back and look them up. Spare no effort in increasing the love so you, as a precious divine soul, can claim your ultimate life. Open your heart
and this time around. Thank you for listening to today's episode. We hope that you take it deeply into your heart and decide for yourself how you can create anything you desire. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to this podcast and share it with your friends. As always, we'd love to hear your feedback and topic suggestions. Until tomorrow, this is Your Ultimate Life with host Kellen Flukiger. Stand with your heart in the sky and your feet.